Hello and welcome to episode 96 of The Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Derek.
And I'm Alex.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for joining me this week. You are of Rugged Marriage fame, for those of us who may not be aware. And definitely also a techie. You do InfoSec at your work, right?
I do. I started as a sysadmin. I did that for a couple years, and then I've been in InfoSec for almost a year.
Sweet. So this week we are going to be talking about Google's Pixel 2 event, where they announced a whole bevy of hardware. And then we're going to go into a nice little How Not to Get Hacked segment to keep you safe online and help you to not do stupid things that will compromise your devices or information. So without further ado, let's get started. So Pixel 2 event, we have a whole mess of hardware to go through. There was, of course, Google had an event this week where everyone was expecting the Pixel 2 would be announced. I think there were some leaks involved, that there were a lot of this stuff leaked, but I didn't know because I don't pay attention to Google stuff.
Yeah, I don't even look at leaks. I'm like, I'll find out when it's time.
Yeah. So there was a Pixel 2, which is a new smartphone. Slightly different design. They've got smaller bezels, no headphone jack, you know, all the good stuff that we all expect to see in a smartphone nowadays. Pixelbook, which is basically a really high-end Chromebook that is $1,000, which is a very expensive Pixelbook. Very nice. Google Home Mini. So they updated the Google Home line with adding a Mini. And Alex, now Google sells Macs.
I actually didn't see that. Wait, really?
Google Home Max. So that's the name of the other what? Google. I'm just kidding.
Oh, fine.
I'm sorry. I'm a little ashamed of that. I've been okay. It took me a while to come up with that, but I had to do it. They also announced new earbuds, wireless earbuds, Pixel Buds, a new Daydream View, a new little product category that they've invented for themselves called Google Clips, which is kind of basically a little AI camera that's really interesting. So let's just kind of go popcorn style. What are the things in this event that kind of stood out to you as interesting that Google's doing?
Yeah, so we talked about this before the show, but you and I are both iPhone users.
Yes, that's very true.
I don't have a Mac. Like, I'm not all in Apple or anything like that, but my phone is an iPhone. So I am interested in what Google is doing, but I normally don't pay too much attention to their announcements. But two things in there really, really, like, caught my interest. Mm-hmm. And the first one is the Pixel, the headphones, the Pixel Buds.
Oh, yeah.
They call them.
Yes.
And it's not that, I mean, they're normal headphones, except for supposedly they have auto translation technology, where if someone is speaking to you in Spanish, you hear it in English and vice versa.
Yes.
Which I don't like. That is so, if you've never used Google Translate, it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they bought this company called, I think it was called World Lens or something like that.
Okay.
Or Global Lens. And basically, they had found a way where using your phone camera, it'll auto-translate from one language to another language any sign you see.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes.
And it works so good. You might have talked about it on this.
Probably. We've probably made mention of it. Like, I've seen it done before. I haven't played with it myself, but I understand that it's pretty amazing.
I live in Texas, so I get lots of opportunities to, like, translate Spanish.
Uh-huh.
And it's fantastic, and it does such a good job. Like, it's really, really good.
That's cool.
So I'm very interested to see how this headphone is, because that is a world changer.
It is really cool. Of course, all the Star Trek people on Twitter were going, "Universal Translator," or that's a Star Trek thing, right? I think.
Yeah, Star Trek, and then also, what is the ear thing?
The Babelfish.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Babelfish, yes. From Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, that's my favorite. I heard someone talking about this on a podcast. Actually, if you don't listen to the Material podcast on Relay FM, they're really good for general Google and Android news. And I heard them talk about this. It's like, no way, I gotta check this out. That was a really, really cool demo. There's a Swedish lady talking to who came out to talk to the presenter back and forth. And I don't know if this is powered by the Pixel or by the buds themselves, but either way, that's a really cool application of the technology.
Yeah. I mean, take it theological, right?
Yeah.
This is part of the podcast. Do you think God will allow us to ever have something like this?
it did cross my mind to see if should I make a Babel joke. however, it seems to me that the curse brought through the Tower of Babel was I think generally theologians would say that's fulfilled or that's turned on its head by Pentecost, where all of a sudden everyone is speaking everyone else's languages. So I don't think that would be a thing that would happen again on this side of redemption, but you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I really don't have any. I don't think I don't think God would necessarily be too bothered. Like you said, I think because Pentecost for the other reasons. Uh-huh. And I also don't believe that things like this will ever work as well as we hope they will. Right? History of technology is the history of people. Like, I remember, I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but when I was going
26.
Through...
I'm all right.
Okay. So yeah, I got about 5 years on you.
Okay.
When I was going through elementary school, especially, was right before the internet.
Oh, yeah. Like,
right as it was starting, right at the end of my elementary school time. And the entire time I was in elementary school and middle school, especially, they were constantly talking about how computers were going to change the world. And so they'd say, like, a person does this job in 40 hours. A computer can do the same job in 5 hours. So people will only have to work 5 hours to make the same pay, which is not what happened.
Right.
What actually happened is computers can take one person's job and do it in a third of the time. And so they said, oh, okay, you have 2/3 more time. We're going to give you 5 people's jobs now.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And so when I look at things like this, you know, the first thing you think of is like, wow, the ability to understand someone who speaks a different language instantly.
Mm-hmm.
I've just never seen technology ever really deliver mm-hmm. on the promise. It usually delivers on something. It usually gives you something. Mm-hmm. But I would be surprised if a technology will ever be able to do that, yeah. At least in our lifetime.
Well, and yeah, of course, everything that Google does, their kind of tagline now is being AI first in everything that they do instead of mobile first, which that tends to be a trend for all the companies to basically slam on AI or machine learning onto their products. And it's like, oh, this is amazing. This is the next best thing. This will solve all of the problems of humanity. And I heard someone say this once that AI is great. AI can be better than a human, but AI plus a human is so much better than AI just by itself. So, we're getting closer to the solid color as we get, you know, increase in gradients, but,
let's also be real clear. AI does not exist.
Right.
There is no AI. We have machine learning, which is an algorithm that can sort of update itself, but is not an artificial form of intelligence.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we can
because there's no parse. Real intelligence involved. It's more an algorithm that can sort of update itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Which potentially is the bedrock of AI, but AI does not exist. I'm an InfoSec. Uh-huh. You said that.
Yep.
But like everything is like AI, machine learning technology, next generation. Like marketing people just love throwing that stuff at us. And I'm like, AI doesn't exist yet. It's not out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's... Anyway, sorry.
No, that's a very good distinction to make. And yeah, it's very easy to get carried away with, you know, talking about AI is here. It's the future. It's not actually not like the science fiction version of artificial intelligence. It is named AI.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing I thought was interesting that I don't know. I mean, this could be an entire show, honestly.
Yeah.
So cut me off at any time.
All right.
But the Google Clips. Right?
Yes.
So you got like Russian dash cams. Everyone has seen those Russian dash cam videos on YouTube.
Yes. And
what I found out recently that most people don't know is the reason why there are so many videos of Russian cars crashing into each other is because almost everyone in Russia has a dash cam.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they have a dash cam is because historically, you crash into someone else, the police arrive, one of you pays the cop more than the other, and the cop writes whoever paid him the most into the report. And so the insurance company says, we can't trust police reports. We can't. It's just your word against this other guy.
Mm-hmm.
The police report said something completely different than you said happened is happening. So too bad. You don't get, we're not going to cover you.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone bought dash cam so they could have proof for their insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell that story for this one. We have active shooters, right? We just had the tremendous tragedy in Vegas. We have a higher awareness of police shootings, a general mistrust of the government and police from all political parties.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sort of attitude in the culture? So Google Clip, we didn't actually really explain it. Google Clip is basically a little square that just takes pictures periodically of things it thinks you'll want pictures of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it can do video.
It does like little sections of video, kind of like live photos on iOS.
Yeah. And so there was this camera that this Kickstarter group just did. And it made tons and tons of money. And the reason it made so much money is because people are just recording themselves all the time. Well, Google Clips is basically that. Mm-hmm. They're advertising it as like, oh, when you're hanging out with your friends, it'll take pictures for you so you can remember all your stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, I don't feel like that's the use case. Like the real use case is like, oh, I'm getting pulled over by the police. Or maybe just like every day in life, I just don't trust the world around me. Mm-hmm. And so I want a record of it. Anyway, I would just be interested in your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't really work as kind of like a life cam, which is initially kind of what everyone on the internet was saying it might be. I think it's basic. I don't know that you can actually take pictures manually on it or not. That's a question I don't have the answer to. But basically, the computer inside is what's deciding to take pictures of everything. I do think there will be a point that we will have cameras absolutely everywhere that we are going to be wearing all the time, just because, especially given certain scenarios, if you're in a higher risk situation or if you're driving in a car. I mean, I would love to have a dash cam. The only reason I haven't had a dash cam input in my car is because I don't want to pay for it yet.
Yeah.
But like having that evidence, having the ability to concretely verify what you have is, I think that will be a valuable part of the future. It'll just take a while for people to be comfortable with having cameras everywhere. And also, we need to be able to have cameras that can't get hacked very easily, which is a big hurdle to solve yet. But I have no doubt. I mean, Google Clips, kind of everything there is on device. But anyway, those are my thoughts in a nutshell. So Google Home Max, Google Home Mini, that's kind of the same thing that Amazon's doing. It's like, yeah, it's Google. They're probably going to be great at that. I really don't see the HomePod doing very well in this climate where basically Amazon and Google both have products out before the they're not necessarily going to have they're not necessarily out just yet, but they will be. I don't see Apple doing too well in this space anymore with high quality speakers with actual good assistants installed on them.
But the
Pixel 2, just a couple of thoughts from me on the Pixel 2. It's a really pretty phone. I really appreciate that Google is really trying hard at making good phones as much as they can make them. I mean, they're basically only 2 years into designing hardware now. And given that fact, it's a great phone.
Yeah. Google's weird though, because they're almost competing with themselves, right?
Uh-huh.
Because they made it in the market because they just gave Android to everyone. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, oh yeah, and all you guys, we're going to compete with you now. Like, they never really wanted to give that power to the other guys, but the other guys sort of had to take it so they could compete against the iPhone.
Yeah.
But didn't they do like the Nexus 1 a couple years ago as well? Like, they've tried hardware a couple times. I think the Pixel is the first like really good phone they made.
The
Pixel 2.
The Nexus was always designed by someone else.
Oh.
Google may have had input on that and made sure like the software ran really well on it. Like the software was very well integrated with the phone, but the Nexuses were not Google designed hardware.
Gotcha.
So the Pixels are really the first, like them trying to compete with Apple in the hardware space, which is great. Apple needs competition in this area to bring down prices to, you know, and when people compete, you know, generally the consumers win. So again. I feel like I make this, I think I said this last year when the Pixel came out, but if I were to buy an Android phone today, the Pixel would be what I'd get.
Oh, me too.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, if I were going to make the leap, I'd do Pixel. I'll also be interested to see how, if the Pixels do really well, how Android changes to focus more on Pixel.
I'm kind of wondering that too.
Because the iOS is designed for the iPhone. Mm-hmm. Android has kind of been designed for whatever you kind of put it on. Mm-hmm. And there's been issues and limitations and because of it. So I'll be very interested to see if this gives them the flexibility to try some things that maybe they couldn't really try before.
Yeah. Yeah. So exciting futures for smartphones and home assistants and all that jazz. So if you, the listener, want to check out the event itself, I have it linked in the show notes, as well as a nice 19-minute summary done by The Verge, which is their summaries of the keynotes are always excellent. They just take out the important clips from the keynote and put it in there, and it's great. Hey, welcome to, again, what would normally be our ad spot, but just like last week, this week we are also going to be, instead of pushing products that we love and telling you about them, we want to encourage you guys, our listeners, to go and donate in support of hurricane relief, especially like Puerto Rico. If you haven't read about what is happening in Puerto Rico right now, it's just utterly destroyed. The islands in the Caribbean, they've just got hurt really hard by all three hurricanes that have come through in the last few months. There's just so much devastation. They need help. And if you could spare a few dollars to go help them out, that would be fantastic. We can't all obviously go help ourselves. So we got to do what we got to do. There are a whole bunch of charities, obviously, that are helping out there in the Caribbean and in the Southeast United States. But the one that we're going to be pushing you towards is Samaritan's Purse. We have confidence in their ability to use your money wisely. We're not affiliated with them in any way. They didn't ask us. We didn't ask them. We're just pushing you to a link to donate. So if that's something that you can spare a few dollars to go do, that would be fantastic. Give joyfully and give freely. And thank you for listening to Tech Reformation. You guys are fantastic. Okay, for our second segment today, we are going to talk about a little bit about Equifax and the details around that hack, as well as general tips about how not to get hacked. So, Alex, take it away.
Okay, I'm going to go real, real quick.
A lot of information coming your way.
So maybe slow it from 2x speed to half speed. Okay, so there have been a ton of breaches in the news this year, especially Equifax being the big one. Mm-hmm. You may have also heard about in the last week, it was announced that Yahoo, the hack that they thought was 1 billion accounts, was actually 3 billion accounts.
Oh my goodness.
And if you've ever had a Yahoo account before about the end of 2013, your information, someone has it.
Yeah.
Sonic is currently getting hacked. They don't know what's causing it.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one.
Yeah. So
that's insane.
It's basically the short version on that one, because I don't have time to get into it. But the very short version is, if you're going to Sonic over the next 6 months, pay cash. Don't use your card. Seriously.
Yep. Yep.
Until they know what's going on and what's causing it, because someone is snarfing up credit cards and debit cards from Sonic.
All right.
So a lot of people know that Equifax was hacked, that they discovered the hack at the end of July, and then they announced it at the beginning of September. I think it was September 9th, and they discovered it July 27th mm-hmm. or 28th. And a lot of people are really, really upset about a lot of things around it. But I wanted to help. So I wanted to do two things. One, I wanted to kind of rein in real quickly, like, what you should be upset about, and then what you shouldn't be upset about. So one thing you probably should be upset about is the executive selling stock 3 days after the breach.
Oh, yes.
Was found.
That was scummy.
So, yeah. So, the bottom line is, there is no way that they didn't know. There's not. And, I've had an opportunity to talk to some people in the legal realm, and basically all of them were like, yeah, if we were advising Equifax, one of the first things we would have said is don't sell any stock, because that is going to ruin everyone's opinion of this no matter what happens. Even if they were justified in it, that was scummy. Mm-hmm. The website they created was horrible. So it doesn't, so if you to this day, if you go to the website and you put in your information, it doesn't matter what you put in. The answer it gives you back is random.
Yes, that's what EquifaxSecurity2017.com or something like that, or yes. I don't even know that that's the right URL. Don't go there if it's not.
Don't go to any of those sites.
Yeah.
Not only does it give you random information, but it tries to get you to sign up for 1 year free. They pay for free for 1 year of credit monitoring service. After the year is up, you get auto-charged. That's super scummy.
Yeah.
Two, you might remember that in addition to the 143 million personally identifiable information scarfed up by Equifax, also 200,000, a little over 200,000 credit cards were snatched up. Mm-hmm. Where do you think Equifax got the credit card information? Their identity monitoring service.
That just makes me feel all kinds of fuzzy inside.
So there's no way to know whether or not you've been hacked, so you should assume you've been hacked. On Twitter, Equifax posted the wrong link.
Yes.
It went to just some other... Thank God it went to a security researcher's website.
Uh-huh.
Because a million Equifax fake security sites went up that were phishing sites that were meant to just scarf fake information and then use it to steal your identity.
Uh-huh.
And it was a security researcher, and the security researcher was like, guys, this is the worst that you could have possibly done. Like, you could not have bungled this anymore. To make matters even better, uh-huh, this week, the IRS announced that they are going to pay Equifax $7.5 million to partner with them to help them fight against identity theft against, this hack. So yeah. Equifax does a very bad job of securing themselves. That has been, I think that's already been proven.
Yeah. Yep.
I will say this, people are angry that they didn't report the breach as soon as they found out about it. It takes time to kind of know the scope of these things, so I'm not super mad that they went from July to September.
Yeah.
It still feels long, 30 days, and this is just subjective, but 30 days is kind of my limit. Mm-hmm. They went about 35 to 40.
Yeah, it's not like you discover a breach and then five days later you tell it to everyone, because you still don't know like the scope. You don't know if it's still happening. You got to kind of try to see if you can plug the holes first. There's, you know, make sure everyone knows all that stuff.
Okay. Yeah, and people think computers are magic.
They're not.
And like if I ask you today, hey, I need a report of everything your computer has ever done, but specifically when someone else besides you is doing it, you couldn't get that to me. You would have no idea even where to start.
Yep.
And then you think of a multi-billion-dollar organization with tens of thousands of employees, without not even even companies that have phenomenal security would have a very, very hard time gathering specific bits of information. Mm-hmm. Forensics, unfortunately, just takes a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess the last thing I was going to say, just because I've been getting this a lot, people are like, 123 million people were hacked. What is the likelihood that if someone has this database of all this information, that they'll pick me? And I extremely high. The answer is extremely high. So if you remember when the Democratic emails were taken, Hillary Clinton's emails were taken,
yeah, yep,
and it was and the NSA was able to go through 650,000 emails in 8 days. Which? And someone asked Edward Snowden, how could they possibly have parsed through that information so quickly? They must be a farce. They must be lying. And Edward Snowden said, oh, I could do it in minutes to hours on a 2004 laptop.
Oh, my word.
And it's true. You just write tell it, like, look for these kinds of things, and it automatics for you. So, mm-hmm, like, getting the information is not hard, and cycling through millions and millions of lines of information is not hard. You're a developer. You probably do it all the time, going in and out of databases and grabbing stuff. And
well, Ben's the developer, but I appreciate the compliment. I like to pretend that I understand development. I'm kind of like a I like to dream about being a developer one day without actually having to learn how to be one. You know.
that's funny. Well, ask Ben some time about how many times his stuff interacts with databases,
yeah,
how quickly he can go through database information, your job will drop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the real question is, my information's out there, how do I not get hacked, right? So the first thing to be clear on, because it's a fuzzy line, is security and privacy are different.
Yeah. Okay.
Securing yourself is different from making yourself private.
Uh-huh.
And the things you do are different. Sometimes they overlap, right? Like if I got a VPN and I think there's someone reading, you know, a man in the middle capturing my internet data before it gets out on the internet,
mm-hmm.
then I can use a VPN and that secures my communication because no longer can this information, he get the data.
Right.
The data still goes through his machine, but now it's secured and private. So that's both, right? It secures you if someone's trying to get you, and it also makes it private if they do get it.
Mm-hmm.
But most things are one or the other, right? Like a Tor browser mm-hmm. is a good example. A lot of people have heard of Tor. Tor is not secure. It does not increase your security. It does not make you less likely to get hacked. What it does, though, is it helps you develop more privacy,
mm-hmm.
But only if you use it right. So it's, like I said, it's a blurry line, but it's an important one.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I want to talk about is how to not get hacked. So this is also hard because, so the question is, who are you defending yourself from?
Right.
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 Are you defending yourself from phishing emails? Are you defending yourself from your neighbor's kid who's playing around with hacking tools? Are you defending yourself from the government? Are you defending yourself from a Russian hacker group that you've pissed off? Each of these things is different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And requires a different level of security.
Because
Russian hacking groups.
If you're getting hacked by a Russian hacker group, like, yeah, you need to like talk to someone who knows what they're talking about instead of just taking advice from a podcast.
That's true.
But I mean, most people who are listening could probably assume basically me where I don't have that many people who know me. I have a podcast, whatever. But it's not like I have enemies or like I'm not in trouble with the government, you know, that kind of thing. But I do want to make sure that I'm not going to inadvertently get a shotgun attack from someone that I could have defended myself easily from.
And that is the majority of people, mm-hmm. right? Even if Equifax has your information, right? They don't have like your computer name.
Right.
They don't have your IP address necessarily. Right. So someone's not going to really be able to target you that way. So most people, you're right. Most people are trying not to go to the wrong website or click on the wrong link or play the wrong video.
Mm-hmm.
So how to not get hacked. First of all, if you don't have one, get an antivirus. Even if you're on Linux, even if you're on Mac. Mac especially, I don't remember if it was 1 month ago or 2 months ago. I think it was in July, so 2 months ago or three. Man. Time flies. Anyway, it was discovered that tons and tons and tons of Macintosh computers were infected with a pretty gnarly virus that was just monitoring the information and sending it to these other sites.
Huh. Interesting.
And just nobody knew about it, and it had been there for a long time. So Macs are not targeted nearly as much as Windows,
mm-hmm.
But they still get targeted. And so being antivirus, what antivirus does is if the antivirus companies know about it, they can help you stop it. Malwarebytes, I strongly recommend. I think you can put that on Mac and Windows, and I think maybe even Linux. And then if you have Windows 10, turning on Windows Defender is also really, really helpful. Windows Defender is actually good in Windows 10.
Oh,
not
okay.
Windows 7, not Windows Vista, not Windows XP, but Windows 10 version of antivirus is actually good.
It's good to know.
It's not good enough to like not also have Malwarebytes. You can do a background mode now where both will do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do. I have Malwarebytes and Defender.
Gotcha.
But give it a year, and I think Windows Defender will be good enough on its own on Windows 10 machines to not even need an alternative antivirus.
Nice.
They're doing some really good stuff.
That's encouraging.
The second thing I would recommend, and I know this has been a contentious topic on this podcast before, is
I recommend download. I don't know where people's thoughts are now, but
good. I recommend downloading and installing an ad blocker.
Uh huh.
And yep. I specifically recommend uBlock Origin.
Okay. What is good about uBlock Origin? Like right now, I have Ghostery on my computer. What is specifically great about uBlock? Is it just their database of stuff or?
It's open sourced.
Okay.
Is one good thing about it. So the code is out there and is audited.
Nice.
Which means it's more likely to catch issues with it.
Mm-hmm.
Two, there's no tiers with uBlock Origin. There's no like free version versus paid version. You get what you get. The dude who's developing it is just a phenomenal developer.
All right.
And it's open sourced on GitHub, so people submit things as well. And it just gets better and better and better. and just bang for buck, it seems to use less resources than most of the other ones I've interacted with, and it does a much better job of catching things.
Nice.
So we can talk about why I recommend ad blockers another time, because we don't have a lot of time. But the short version is most spyware and adware comes from clicking on ads.
Yes.
And those things will just ransack your computer. And they can be used to inject your computer with tons and tons of viruses, add you as part of a botnet, all this stuff. Yep. I feel like I should be explaining all these things, but Google it. Or maybe have me on again sometime.
We'll talk more. Yeah, exactly.
If you use Adobe Reader or Flash, uninstall them immediately, especially on Windows. Use Chrome. You can set up Chrome as a PDF reader. You can set up Chrome. Chrome automatic already has Flash installed on it and already has a PDF reader installed on it. That's basically Adobe's. That is Adobe PDF reader. You just make the program used to open those types of files Chrome. And it's so much better. Google makes sure all that stuff's updated. Google makes sure all that stuff's secured.
Yeah.
So it's much better.
And on Mac, like, I mean, I always use Chrome for Flash when I need to. When I rarely run across Flash nowadays. And for PDFs, I mean, Preview is a fantastic Mac app for what it is. It's a great PDF reader. So, yeah, you definitely have options other than those and use them.
Yeah. Yeah. And the real value of Chrome is this next thing is Chrome auto updates them for you.
Mm-hmm.
Chrome makes sure that Flash and Adobe PDF reader are the most up-to-date version. So the next thing you should do is you should turn on auto updates for everything. Just make sure everything just updates itself all the time. Make sure your operating system updates itself. Make sure all your programs update themselves. Make sure your web browser especially updates itself. The number one way people hack you is by you having older versions of things. The reasons why so many updates come out is mostly people are fixing bugs that allow people to use them to hack you.
Mm-hmm.
And like Internet Explorer had a bug that just came out where I can use a certain Java plugin, and it's just something native to Internet Explorer specifically, where if that plugin is on my page, I can I can read everything you're putting into the URL bar.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, and I can just keep that, and I can do whatever I want with it. Only Internet Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using Internet Explorer, stop immediately. Use Chrome or Edge or Firefox.
Yep.
Edge is actually pretty good. Chrome is probably the best still, and Firefox is third place, but getting better.
And on Mac, I do like Safari. I don't know if you
Safari's good, but Safari just did an audit of this third party company just did an audit of the four major browsers, and Safari by far did the worst.
Oh, okay, all right.
I mean, whereas I think I have to look. I think Chrome had like two issues. I think Firefox had two issues. I think Edge had like four issues, and Safari had like 18 issues.
Security wise, or
yeah,
okay, I got.
Now they fixed them. They fixed them in the most recent patches, the most recent updates they just did to iOS and OS X. But
that's good to know.
Yeah. That being said, Apple generally does a really good job on security. I don't know. Apple as a company seems to have given up on their computers, right? Like they don't seem to care about OS X or the Mac Airs or any of those things.
Uh-huh.
Like they just don't seem to be putting any real effort for them. But their iPads, their iPhones, their watches are extremely secure.
Yeah, they're definitely an iOS first company at this point. But yeah,
I guess the next thing I would say is get a password safe. And a password safe is a couple of them are LastPass, KeePass. There's a few other organizations. I recommend LastPass.
Mm-hmm. I like 1Password.
1Password is another good one. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think 1Password was designed around Macs.
It was, and then they moved to other. I think they're on basically any system you have now. I don't know if they have Linux. If they did, I wouldn't be surprised.
I bring that up only because they're probably really, really well optimized for Macs.
Mm-hmm.
They're all good. The difference between LastPass, KeePass, and 1Pass is KeePass and 1Pass you keep basically like on your computer, and then LastPass you actually keep it in the cloud, which freaks a lot of people out. But I recommend it. Again, I don't have time to talk about why, but I recommend LastPass. But KeePass and 1Pass are also very good. Again, as long as you keep them updated.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
And never ever forget the password or write it down anywhere.
Yep.
And there's a lot of reasons why. That will help you, especially the autofill feature of these programs.
Oh, yes. I love that.
the ability to have tons of passwords you don't have to remember and the ability for them to be autofilled make or just increase the level of security of web browsing like exponentially.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And then I guess the last thing I'd say is if you've never done it before, run a Malwarebytes scan, even a free one. Run a Super Anti-Spyware is another program you should run. You can see what spyware is on your computer. And then download Should I Remove It? Should I Remove It is a tool, I think it's Windows only, that looks at all the programs and features you have installed and just kind of tells you what other people think about them. And so if you find, and it tells you what percentage of Should I Remove It users have uninstalled that program. So if you see something that like tons and tons of people have uninstalled and has a really low rating, you should probably get rid of that.
Yeah.
Because probably it's malicious.
I remember you talking about this on Rugged Marriage at one point, and then it's like, wow, I want that. And yeah, then it's only for PCs.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Sorry. He's on your work computer, I guess.
It's the, use a PC. It's the punishment we have to have for having better computers.
No comment.
So, Alex, what happens if we are hacked? What do we do?
So if you think you've been Equifax hacked, like your personal data is gone.
Uh-huh.
So if you're just like your computer's hacked, you just want to get that stuff off there as quickly as possible. And so running these different programs and getting rid of stuff can do that. But if you think like your social security number has been taken, your address has been taken, your personal information has been taken, like with Equifax, here's really what you should do. File your taxes as early as you possibly can. The number one thing hackers are doing right now is stealing information and then using it to file fake taxes. And so what they'll do is they'll say, hey, I'm Derek. And, oh, by the way, the government owes me $10,000. And the government writes that check because they got your W-4. And then a couple weeks later, you say, hey, I'm Derek. And the government owes me $2,000. And the government says, wait a second, you already filed your taxes, one. And two, we just gave you $10,000, and now you're saying we should have only given you two. So now you owe us $8,000. And oh, by the way, guilty until proven innocent, we're the IRS.
Hey.
And that is not just IRS. That's sorry, Craig. Australia has this issue, too. lots of Europe has this issue, too, where hackers are using tax refunds as an opportunity to steal money from people. And it is just a horrible mess that can take years to get through. So filing your taxes before the hackers can is one of the best ways to save yourself. The second thing I would recommend, and again, this is because of Equifax, because a lot of people have been asking about it, get identity theft insurance. You guys mentioned this last week. You said like, hey, it's like car insurance, just health insurance, just do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Identity theft insurance. I'm currently in the market for it. And the one I think I like the best is Xander Insurance.
Okay.
Dave Ramsey recommends them for a family. And I don't know how many people that can be. It's like $149 a year. So like nothing, very low. For an individual, I think it's like $80 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So very low. And, the thing I like about this one specifically is if you get hacked, if someone steals your identity, then they will take care of it. They will deal with getting the police reports for you. They will reach out to all your credit cards. They will do all that mess for you. And that is the biggest pain in the butt. It's awful. It can ruin your life. And basically everywhere is guilty until proven innocent. So having someone who can do that for you is just a huge burden off your shoulders.
Yeah.
And I guess the last thing I would recommend is freeze your credit. If you're not one of those travel hackers, freeze your credit. Most people don't need their credit open all the time. Really, the only people who do is people who get lots and lots of credit cards or who move a lot. Besides that, most people, there's not really a reason to have your credit available mm-hmm. to people. But I will say this, if you're going to do identity theft insurance, get that first, because a lot of these companies will not sell you identity theft insurance if your credit is frozen. But if you freeze your credit after you have the insurance, there's no issues. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. And if you think you've been hacked, but just like your computer, and maybe nothing bad has been stolen.
Just throw it out and get a new one.
Yeah, exactly. No. Malwarebytes is really helpful. They've got a free scanner if you don't want to pay for it, though it's only $20 to $30 a year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's $30 a year for two computers. Like, it's nothing. And then Super Any Spyware is free, and it does a phenomenal job of catching spyware and adware on your computer, which there's a lot of. And I don't know if they have a Mac version or not, but if they do, I would strongly recommend it because, like I said, there was that spyware that came out for Macs a couple months ago.
All right.
So hopefully this was helpful.
Yeah.
And I realized that I realized I didn't justify half of what I said. But trust me.
Yeah, and it's hard to do a segment like this in 20 minutes time because there's so much like history behind these things. There's many reasons for doing these things. If you do a little bit of Google foo, you're going to find some extra context behind this. So, do a little bit of research if you're unsure. But I will agree that these are all, like, just from my experience, like, reading about things on the internet, these are all very good tips, and you should do them.
Yeah, and most of them, you do a little work, and then you never have to worry about it again.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks. And that brings us to the end of the program. Alex, it was wonderful to have you on Tech Reformation this week.
It was fun. I like talking about InfoSec. I don't get to do it very often.
It's a lot of fun. I don't know enough about it, and it's really fun to listen to someone who knows stuff about it talk about it. It makes me happy. If someone would want to contact you, where might they find you on the internet?
So probably the best way to do that, especially for information security questions, mm-hmm. would be my Twitter,
okay,
EntrePreLife, which is, it's like entrepreneur, but with life at the end instead of newer. So that'll be in the show notes.
Nice. And if they want to check out Rugged Marriage, you can go to ruggedmarriage.com. They have an excellent podcast, kind of on a weird hiatus at the moment, but they have great content. Definitely search through the back catalog. So that's a great podcast. You should subscribe to that.
Thank you.
If you would like to contact us at Tech Reformation, you can go to our Twitter at Tech Reformation on Twitter. Shout at us, retweet our stuff, you know, whatever you want to do. You can also join our Slack community. It's slack.techreformation.com. You can sign up there, and then it'll forward you to the Slack. It's a great little community that you guys have all joined into. It's great to get to talk to you guys every week about the episodes, what your thoughts are, if you have extra information. So, yeah, jump on in there and talk to us.
Oh, yeah, I'm in there too, I guess.
Yes, you are. Yeah, actually, Alex is in there too. You can talk to him there. So, yeah. This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And I ain't looking back. Choice, and I ain't looking